Can you see the?
I can see. And am I top or am I on top or am I on the bottom?
Okay. For
am I on
okay,
top?
Wait.
I'm on top.
You're on top.
I prefer to be on top. Okay. Maybe that's been the problem the whole time.
Hey, podcast world. This is Gina Tremarco.
And I'm Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About.
We are so excited about this podcast launch. This is our introduction episode. And if you're an avid podcast listener, you know that the first episode is usually the introduction podcast that lays out what to expect going forward. So before we tell you about us, we'll tell you about the show. So here's what I was thinking, Rachel. I want to like get your take on how you see the show, how you would describe the show, and then I'll do my take on the show, and then we'll banter a little bit, and then we'll talk about us and what they can expect. What do you think?
Okay. Well, Gina, the podcast came into fruition just over breakfast. We were having breakfast every once in a while, and we just started saying, oh my gosh, we should probably be recording this. And because of your other podcast, Pivot 10.
The Pivotal Leader.
ThePivotalLeader.com. Excellent. I said at first we should be just recording it and make a reality show. And then obviously because of The Pivotal Leader that was already in existence, we just decided to go ahead and do a podcast. Since you already were an expert at podcasting.
Yeah, I think actually it was because we try to get together for breakfast. We try to spend time together where we can fit it into our schedules. And I think this is my original thought of how this happened. Like, we should do a reality show, TV show, that where we travel the country in an RV.
Wait.
I didn't say
not,
that.
Wait, not an RV.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't do RVs. I do like hotels.
Oh, maybe that was another idea with somebody else. I have a lot of ideas. We are going to have an episode where we talk about the culture index, which is a personality assessment. And you're going to be taking that assessment soon. You just might not know it. But I have been known for having this ingenuity off the scale where I have a million ideas and like one work. So that RV idea might have happened with somebody else. Anyway. That's why I thought it would be fun to see our different perceptions of how this happened.
Anyway, what we always talk about is being a woman and surviving as a woman in this world.
Thriving.
Especially, yeah.
Thriving.
Right? Thriving.
We
as
don't
a
survive,
woman.
We thrive.
Right? In the world as a woman, and even more specifically as a woman in business, because there are plenty of challenges to face in business in general, just being a good person in sales, but as a woman in sales as well, there's just specific challenges to men and women, we feel. And a lot of it ties into living your life. So that's how we came about with our topics, like our subject.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that came to us when we were, I'm like, let's do a reality TV show. We'll go around the country and stay in hotels.
Much better.
And lift other women up and show them that they can do things and make things happen. Because I think you and I come from the same cloth of like, stop crying about it. I mean, you and I have meltdowns. We both have meltdowns, but we pick up pretty quickly.
Right. I had a meltdown last night, just last night, as a matter of fact. But I think that I think it's okay to go ahead and cry it out. Instead of holding it in and then holding it against people around you.
Yeah, get it out of your system. That's one of my annoyances with men, but that's another topic. I mean, we love men, so let's be really clear. We're going to talk about that we love men. But, you know, as women, we are often, especially you and I think, we are often considered highly emotional, bitchy, pushy, bossy. And I think what our concept for the show name of like Women Your Mother Warned You About, that's where we kind of got that is like, don't label us as all those negatives. And now the title of the show kind of makes fun a little bit of that. but we will occasionally have that meltdown to like be able to pick up, you know, fall down and pick back up. But there are a lot of people out there, not just women, men and women, who have an attitude of entitlement and woe is me, and you know, why can't things work out for me? Why can't I close this deal? Why can't I have this thing? Even like in building this podcast, I've had a lot of people ask me like, what's this podcast about? Why'd you pick Rachel? And it wasn't nothing against you either. It was like, why didn't you pick me? That was the tone in the voice of some people, like,
because I'm awesome. That's why you picked me. I think we picked each other, really.
We did pick each other.
Definitely going into 2018, if someone had told me I was going to be doing a podcast, I would have been like, what? Never.
But you always say yes to everything I propose.
I do. That's a problem.
So originally our idea was, how can we show other women that you can have whatever it is you want, whether it's personal or professional, and that nothing should stop you? How do you go against the norm? How do you not conform to the norm? How do you not be a crybaby about it? I can be a crybaby, but then I got to put my big girl panties on and get back out there.
Definitely. And I think one word that describes both of us and probably describes most women your mother warns you about is resilience. That no matter what happens and what befalls us in life, that we may cry it out for a minute, but then get back up, shake it off, and figure out a solution. Figure out how to learn from something tragic. Figure out how to grow and improve after having learned those lessons that caused a fall or a meltdown.
Yeah. Resilience. So that's another R. So we are raw, real, resilient, and irreverent. That's not really an R?
There's two R's in there.
There's two. And the irreverence, like, I didn't even think of us as irreverent until someone, a guy named Keith Walters, listened to some of our episodes and referred to us as irreverent. And I think he said something like, we are well done irreverence.
Irreverence done well?
Maybe that was irreverence done well.
Kind of flows a little better.
And knowing him, that's probably the way he said it. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the show and what to expect. We have mentioned that this show is about being a woman, being in business, and being a woman in business. And so it combines all of those things. This is the, when we're talking about being a woman, it's the good, the bad, the silly, from lipstick shades to glass ceilings, because all of it is our reality. Would you agree?
I totally agree, Gina. There's a lot of levels to any woman, a lot of layers, and it includes lipstick and meltdowns and glass ceilings for sure, and shattering them.
And earlier today, you were talking about mascara. Apparently, I'm using the wrong mascara. So that was a lesson I got this morning before we started recording.
Better than sex. Mascara is bomb.
Okay. I think they should be a sponsor.
I'm calling them soon.
Okay. So Better Than Sex mascara is something I'm going to look into. So neither one of us are hardcore, like, feminist bra-burning broads. But we have no problem speaking our minds. So much that we both have perceived or described with negative words that I think people give us some negative labels sometimes because they secretly want to be us.
True. I've been called a bitch, but my retort was, yes, and I'm a bitch that gets things done.
I really appreciate the incorporation of yes and. Because when we talk a little bit about my background, yes and is a big part of my background in improv. So I think we tend to have a little more testosterone. Or
yes.
Do that again.
Yes. Thanks, Rachel.
We have a little more testosterone or balls, I like to say. We're ballsy broads. I think we have more testosterone than some men. It's not saying much, but I think we both do. And if that sounds offensive to you as a listener,
turn it off now.
This is the time to leave and never come back. If you enjoy this, buckle up.
No, I don't think they should never come back. I think they should just go get some balls first and then come back.
I like that.
We'll still be here.
Yeah. We'll take you back.
Yeah.
We'll take you back when you get balls.
If you come back, we could also teach you how to find them. You could just come on back.
Yeah. I posted something the other day on Facebook about, I was pissed off about something. Shocker. And it pissed. I posted something about people having balls and people should get balls. And someone, I think they meant well, because it's like, well, you know, balls are very sensitive. It's a sensitive organ. And I think that's why, you know, people don't have balls because they're not protected. And I was like, okay, whatever. Okay, you missed my point. And my point was, you have to be a little bit tough. And women who feel like men don't help elevate them is another issue for me, because I think men, if you play your cards right, ladies, men can really truly champion you and elevate you to the next place. Don't get me wrong. I think it's so important. That's why this show is not just targeting women, it's targeting men too. And we've had a lot of men say, I want to listen to that show so I can understand women. Perfect. You should. That'll make you a progressive, smart man, one step ahead. I think we both need, I think everybody needs mentoring and coaching and a lift up from both genders. Go ahead.
Incidentally, about coaching, Gina was once my business coach, and that's how we actually got together. Gina was my coach for 2 years.
Was it 2 years? That sounds about right.
And during that time, she lifted me up numerous times in business and personal. And since then, I still have a coach. I have more than one coach. And now Gina and I are just became friends as well. And I
Well, we've always just, been friends.
Well, true.
It's just a different relationship now.
Right.
And now we're always business partners.
That's right. And I always looked at you as my sensei, and I still do, really. Aww. But sometimes you can befriend your sensei.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have an episode about mentoring coming up with Keith. And I was talking to Keith about this. Keith Walters, who is our biggest fan, our coach, our mentor, and a contributor to this show now. And he became a partner after we started working on the show. I think he liked it so much, and he came on board as a partner to be part of the show occasionally. So he's going to have a segment called That's What Keith Said. Because he listened to some of our recordings and he was like, I just wanted to jump in and say something. So he's chomping at the bit to be part of the show. He's probably going to be sad that we're recording this without him. But
well, and if you want to say something, we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to comment on any of our social channels, as well as send us a message.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
And we will have other men on the show as well, and other women on the show. We have a huge list of guests, potentials that we're going to be reaching out to, or who have reached out to us. It seems like we're going to have no problem having guests on this show to speak their mind. But back to the mentoring thing for a second. Keith has been one of my mentors and advisors for a couple years now. He came on to the Pivotal Leader podcast as a guest, and we became friends, and he has been so influential into many different things that I've done to change my business just from that relationship. So I look at him as my sensei, and I said, oh, it's like a generational sensei party. He's my sensei.
Sensei party.
I told him we're going to boss him around when he's on the show. I think he's okay with that. Other things to expect from this show. While we have somewhat of a structure, it's a loose one designed to be improvised and feel more like a conversation that you just dropped in on. We are raw, real, irreverent. And there was another R. Raw, real, irreverent.
Resilient.
Resilient.
And just because the structure is loose, that does not mean that we are loose.
Speak for yourself.
I'm engaged.
I'm married.
Loose-lipped.
And we might be saying things that we regret, but we never really regret anything.
We might say swear words.
Yes.
Gina might swear. I am not known for my swearing.
You're what?
No, I think I have you made my place in history of having one of the worst potty mouths around
who are you talking about?
On the East Coast. I know, I was kidding. I was trying to plant that seed in the universe to get better at swearing, not swearing.
You have a potty mouth. I don't know whose is worse.
I'm not sure, but I'm willing to take the lead on that.
Well, I think this is important to know. I've been swearing since I was 3. That's important. I mean, there's a great story behind this. My aunt, Ange, rest in peace, she wanted to irritate my mother. So I've got this mother who's born in Germany, immigrant-ish, you know, like when I was, she wasn't in this country very long when she gave birth to me. So my mom's German, my dad was Italian. So my mom, my dad's side of the Italian side of the family were a bunch of ball busters and a little mobbed up. That's another story. My Aunt Ange used to pull me and my brother aside to try to teach us how to swear. And she would go, Gina, say sucker. Say sucker. Sucker. And then she would switch it up to the next word. So she would change it to the other letter. I'm not going to say that here because that'll really make it an explicit episode. So that's...
When you were 3?
Yes.
Aunt Ange.
Yes. And my mother, like our neighbor, like came to my mom one day and said, could you please get your daughter to stop teaching my son swear words?
Whoops.
So there's that. Just a little story. So let's see. We're going to have guests on the show. We've talked about Keith, his episode on That's What Keith Said. One thing that this was interesting. Keith said to me that we are great at bridging instead of polarizing the gender gap, which I thought was cool. I thought that was cool.
That is cool, Gina and Keith.
Yeah. So that's cool. I think a part of him wanting to be on the show is so that he can protect his people, the men.
But we love men. This is not about bashing them in any way, because in order to keep the species going, we've got to have men and women around. So frankly, we've got to get along. So I don't feel like there's any reason to diminish either one of the genders. And, you know, in today's world, it's just such a blend of genders. So it's just a new way to navigate, really. So we love men. I love the way that I love to be sexy for men. I love to have men help me. I mean,
oh, I love for men to help me. And like, I love chivalry.
The opening of the door thing is bomb.
You know what else is really bomb if you travel a lot? The guy who's like, can I get that suitcase for you?
What? Whoever did that? I never had.
Whenever I fly, oh my gosh, men are always asking to help me with my suitcase in the overhead. I'm nice. Like, yes, you may.
Amen.
Yes, please help me. So I'm all about chivalry. So there. We want it all.
There's no reason why you can't have it all.
I forgot to. So when I first pitched this idea to Keith, that's what Keith said. When I first pitched this podcast, because I run things by Keith because he also knows my personality type, which is a persuader on the culture index. I've been described in that profile as a mosquito on Red Bull.
Terrifying at times.
It can be. I know I have high expectations and it's not always easy to work with me. But so he knows my personality well enough that I can pitch I will pitch ideas to him just to get pushback, because he and I tend to be a little bit opposite spectrum. And so I appreciate the pushback from him. So when I first pitched this idea to him about this podcast that we were doing it, he went completely silent. I don't think he realizes this. Like, he was just silent. And I know in sales, the money's made in the silence. I'm like, I'm not going to overtalk this. I put it out there. I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to let him pontificate on it. And I waited. And it went on forever. The silence, it felt like forever, you know, like in sales. And so he finally goes, what's the purpose of this? I was like, okay, so I still have him. So now I got to really pitch it. So then I told him about how important it was for you and I to do some personal branding. And we also wanted to just do a podcast where we could have fun. The Pivotal Leader is fun for me, but the Pivotal Leader really is about featuring these leaders and making it all about them and trying not to steal their spotlight. This podcast was more about our personal brands and how we could push our personal brands out there. So once I explained that to him, again, there was silence. followed by I love it, followed by I want to be, followed by I want to be on the show. So there you have it.
Everybody wants a piece. Wow, that could go a lot of directions, couldn't it? Anyway.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about, we've talked a lot about what to expect from the show. We're going to ramble. We'll be informative. Sometimes we'll be funny. We'll always be opinionated. We might cry. It could happen. It's going to be all across the board. We are going to be real raw and irreverent and resilient. So let's talk a little bit about who we are. So, you know, like, should we keep listening to these broads? So, Rachel, would you like to start, or do you want me to start, like, giving the Rachel, who Rachel is, pitch, or do you want me to go? I don't care.
I'm fine with pitching myself. I'm working on pitching. It's a good thing. First and foremost, I am Roxy's mom. Roxy is my greatest joy and one of my greatest motivations for working really hard, because number one, I want to provide a great life for her, but number two, I want to show her how a woman can make her life whatever she wants. Everything that I set out to do, I end up doing. Sometimes it takes a little longer than others to get there, but I always set really strong goals and go for them. And I find it's really important to show young girls, especially Roxy, that she can have it all. There's no reason why she can't have it all. And I'll show her how. I was born in Martinsville, Virginia, to a large family. And at age 5, I went to my first dance class and set my first big goal, which was, Mommy, I'm going to be a dancer. And that's exactly what I did. And I enjoyed a long career as a singer and dancer on stage, film, TV, you name it. I did it. And pretty much up until right now, there's always something that comes up that I do in terms of performance, because I love it, and it's just something that I've had 10,000 plus hours doing, so I guess I'm pretty decent at it at this point.
It almost makes you, like, don't you need, like, 10,000 hours to be a master of something?
Yeah, I definitely, it's like second nature doing anything on stage for me, and my tagline has always been entertain, inform, inspire. I went to an arts, performing arts high school, and before even Facebook existed, it was always something that I did. I posted a inspirational quote outside my door every day, and the other girls and guys used to come up and check it out.
Were you, like, in one of those, like, fame schools?
It was like fame. Oh, it honestly was.
I always wanted to go to, like, fame school.
Yeah, and I went in the summer for a summer program there, and then I begged my parents, please, please, please let me go. I was a sophomore of that year, so I went in my sophomore through my senior year of high school, and there literally was, we would dance and do crazy stuff in the cafeteria and stuff. It was one of the best times of my life, aside from right now. It was a lot of fun.
You know, we would have been best days in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, the look on your face was like, hell no.
What? Why do you say that, Gina?
Oh my God, the look on your face.
Mostly because I was when you said that, I flashed back to how I was, and I was like, I don't know, because I've changed a lot since then. I was very insecure at that time in my life when I was in high school. And I still get insecure about some things, but I've gone through so many challenges since then, like big challenges in my life. And you can read about it in my book, The Gift of Wreckage, you can find on Amazon. And I think it's just changed me. I don't know what the look on my face was, but obviously it was interesting.
Well, we'll talk more about that later, about why we would be besties, because I don't want to steal from your background, your pitch.
Interesting. Sounds like a whole show. Well, and I always had, after high school, I had several free rides to college, to a couple of Ivy League schools, and I didn't go to college. I opted to pursue my performance career because I figured I could always learn stuff later. And but I always had another job going aside from a performance career. I had a career in the fitness industry. I eventually went into real estate. And throughout those second jobs, I fell in love with business and sales and just realized, okay, I need to learn about this, because my background was as a dancer. And I didn't, you generally just show up at auditions. You don't have to sell yourself with how you speak and what you're pitching. You just show up and pitch yourself through your movement. So I'm a real estate agent, and I have been working for months and months on a real estate software called The Closing Curve that is coming soon, if it's not already launched by the time you're hearing this. And you can find information at theclosingcurve.com on that. I'm also a social media manager and executive assistant at JVZoo, which is an affiliate marketing platform. And it was named one of the fastest growing companies in America by Inc. 5000 in 2016 and 17. And it's a very dynamic platform that is worldwide, frankly. And I just learned so much from these people. It's just a completely new industry to me when I joined the company. And I love the learning. I love to learn.
I'm excited. I mean, this is crazy because I'm launching an online sales training class and we're going to be using JVZoo.
Yeah, you should check it out. I'm amazed at the people that I've met all over the world. As a matter of fact, I was just interviewing somebody this morning, one of our top users in Dubai. So just I'm amazed at all the people I'm meeting and all the things that I'm learning that I never would have imagined. And that goes to show that, you know, what a little girl from a small town with no college education can end up doing, like just crazy things that you can do too. Everybody can. But I hardly ever stop moving. I'm always like doing something. I love to get up early in the morning and start grinding, and I hardly ever stop.
No, you don't. We are two like locomotions. As long as we don't crash into each other, we'll just run parallel tracks.
There you go.
Yeah. And we'll push each other. Or we can one be behind, one be in front.
Well, you and I have always, even when you were functioning as my business coach, we still would pick each other up when needed.
Oh, gosh.
You know, even though it was more like a coach and, you know, coachable person.
Well, I think that's important as we continue on in future episodes. Good leaders, good coaches, good mentors have vulnerability and humility. And everybody needs some level of coaching. And when someone who you coach or push or mentor can take the reins away from you to bring you up, that is like magical. Because A, that shows that they learned from you and that they can now carry on those things that they've learned from you, but also that you being picked up are willing to be picked up.
Yes. And it happens all the time to both of us, doesn't it, Gina?
Well, you know, it's so funny because as we've been like working on this podcast and everything else that we have going on, we both have had moments where I've been able to like go right back into coach mode with you to like kind of bring you back up and don't even realize I'm doing it. But I think that's another, you know, building relationships is so important, especially not just in life, but in business. So if you're someone in sales having a hard time closing business or getting clients, it's probably because you suck at building relationships. I hate to be that brutal.
It's all about relationships.
It's being able to read people and understand where they're coming from and being able to dance with them. Even preparing for a recording today, you know, I gave you a couple like motivating action items before we got started.
It was really an ass kicking. Like, that's what it was.
It was gentle.
It was a gentle ass kicking, but it was still, was maybe it was like a mild baby shake kind of like.
No. It just gave me a bad visual.
No, oh, sorry. Okay.
I don't want to get letters that we're shaking babies.
Well, you've been warned. Yeah, were warned.
Yeah, you've been warned. And our listeners, we're going to be referring to as warners. Are you a warner? You know, it's been really cool for this podcast are people who are chiming in on social media that we don't even know yet, who are like, I want to be a woman that my mother warns people about. I can't even get the phrase right. Someone said on Twitter, I want to be a woman your mother warned you about. I was like, that's going on a t-shirt.
Yeah. And that's hot right away.
So we hope that we're going to inspire that that thought process of being a woman your mother warned you about. And all that really means is that you're not conforming to the norm. You're stepping up. You're saying what you think. You're doing what you think is best to do. And you're not worried about what other people have to say. And that's truly the point and our philosophy. So
So what about you, Gina? Why don't you tell us about you, since you know about me now?
Okay. I can tell you about me. First, I want to talk about why we would be besties in high school, because this will...
Okay, good. I want to hear it.
Yeah, because this will kind of like jump us into who I am. And you and I have sort of like, even though we've known each other for a while, I think you've learned some things about me recently. Like, I was born to perform. So I have always been in something performance related. So as a kid, my mom had me in ballet. I had to take organ lessons, organ, not piano, organ lessons for 6 years. Like, it was, I'm happy I did it. I can read music. I might be able to play again. I don't know. I had to go to organ recitals, and I did win trophies. So that was cool. So
I hope someday I can bring you a really great organ and see what you can do with it. It's on my list.
It's going to have to be a special organ. So
it's one of my specialties, okay, finding special organs.
Okay. I will give you a description of what I need. So ballet, organ, art. I took painting lessons. And by high school, I was part of the performance crowd. And I went to an all-girls high school, secretly wanting to go to a fame high school. But I went to an all-girls high school and did theater at the all-boys high school. And I like... at our like brother high school, however you want to call that. So I would audition for shows at the boys' high school. And so that's how the girls and boy thespians would hang out. I think my first boyfriend was gay, but I'm not quite sure. But now in hindsight, I'm pretty sure he was. Not that that matters, but it's like that was a time where like in high school, like you just didn't judge anything. Nobody judged anything. At least that was my experience. That was before social media took over and made people mean. But I was in the performance arena in high school, and so we would do wacky things like go to O'Hare Airport with a boombox and literally dance in the airport to like Lionel Richie songs.
Nice. And they let you?
That's before all the terrorism and 9/11 stuff. Like, we literally would like have a boombox dancing in the airport, and people would be staring at us, and people would be taking our pictures.
Nice.
So those are the kind of things. That's why I'm like, we would be friends, because I was one of those thespian kids.
Yes, I think we would have been friends.
See? So that's my high school life. Little more about me. I'm from Chicago originally. I told you a little bit about my mom and dad. My dad was much older than my mom. He's 25 years older. He had some... mobbish dealings. Like, that was just what Italians did, especially post-Depression. Everybody kind of did something for the mob. I joke about it, but it's true, because I was raised by this kind of street guy, kind of dad, who would give you the shirt off of his back or take it away from you if you did him wrong. So he was either super, super loyal or just don't cross him. But he gave me most of my life lessons, and he gave me my first sales lessons. Like, he made my brother and I work in a flea market on weekends, and that's where I learned to negotiate things like toasters and how to make keys, because he was a self-taught locksmith. And now when you start to put it all together, it makes sense.
Did you wear a little mob hat? Like a little gangster hat, that is?
Not at that time, but that is a symbol on GinaTremarco.com, just to pull my dad into everything Carmen. So I was raised kind of entrepreneurial-ish in how to negotiate and how to talk to people and how to work hard and how to be on time. And that was his thing. Like, you show up an hour early because it's better than being late. And, you know, there were all these things that he taught us as kids that really carried on into adult life that I'm so grateful for. So I was kind of like an entrepreneur at heart. So I did go to college. I went to DePaul University in Chicago. That was something my dad said, well, if you want to go, it's fine. I'm not paying for it. You're just going to get married and have kids. And I'm like, what if I marry a loser? And he's like, good point. You still got to pay for it. So put myself through college, get a degree in communications, radio, TV, film, worked in radio, worked in TV, worked in film. Wow. Okay. I worked in all of those.
Another reason we're friends.
Why?
Radio. Oh, I didn't work in radio ever. I take that back. TV and film.
Okay. There we go. So there was that. And through my career, I ended up in marketing in for live entertainment. So I was doing marketing and public relations for theatrical productions in Chicago. That led me to working at IMAX, for IMAX Corporation, running an IMAX theater in Chicago. And really, that's where I got my main, that's where I really started to learn how to run a business, because I had to be able to read a profit and loss statement, which that's when I was like having those regrets of why I changed my major from accounting, because that was my original major, but I suck at math. So I had to really learn how to run a business, how to hire the right people, how to put the right people on the team, how to negotiate, still do the marketing and PR, how to deal with union negotiations, because I had some union employees. I mean, it was crazy. And then that led me to being recruited to another IMAX in beautiful, sunny Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which I thought was in Florida before I got here. And the economy crashed. I was burnt out. And I was getting so burnt out from the move to the Carolinas and everything that comes with like leaving a place that you grew up in, leaving friends and family, going to a different culture, a different climate. Everything was different. And I thought, well, I'll take a refresher improv class and that will readjust my bad attitude. Because I, being from Chicago, like improv is just synonymous with Chicago. So I went to Second City. I took classes there. I performed different places. No, I did not perform at Second City because people misconstrue that. Second City has a training center. I took classes. I studied there. I saw the value of improv. That's actually what made me change my major, because I realized that I was so creative that being in accounting just didn't make sense. So I changed my major because of improv. Everything I've done going forward is because of improv and the yes and mindset. So when someone offered me a job in Myrtle Beach to get up and move, I was like, yes, I'll do that. Let's move to Myrtle Beach. That's crazy. And then nobody knew what improv was in Myrtle Beach. Seriously. I mean,
no classes to be found.
No classes to be found. So someone said, why don't you just teach it yourself? I'm like, okay. So the only way I could make improv happen was to actually create it. And because I had this marketing background, I'm like, well, I'm going to need a company name and a website and all these things. And so I created all of that in order to teach a class, which here comes full circle. So the first class I ever taught, you ready?
I'm ready.
Was it Legends in Concert?
Interesting.
Have I told you this?
I don't think so. And incidentally, the reason Gina mentions that is because the reason I came to Myrtle Beach in the first place in 1997 was to work for Legends in Concert as a dancer and backup singer. And I have worked on and off with Legends in Concert up until current listening. They still pull me back in to perform.
Help out, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the person who runs Legends in Concert is from Chicago.
Ah, Fred?
No. Christine.
Oh,
originally. Well, yeah, originally.
Then.
Originally, when she was originally running it. She's from Chicago. And I can't remember how I reached out to her, but I was just looking for a place to teach classes.
And any theater will do.
And she's like, okay, for a Chicago girl, you can use our space on Sundays. Keep in mind that it'll be dirty. No one's cleaned up yet. And you could have it on Sunday afternoons. And someone came and let us in for me to teach classes. And I had like four people in my very first class. And before the class started, I actually got fired from IMAX because the economy had been tanking. And so I had business cards, a website for students. And that's what started me with Carolina Improv. So I was like already in business. I kept looking for a job, couldn't find one. Kept running Carolina Improv, and then that gave birth to Pivot 10 Results, because people were afraid of improv in business, so I gave it a different name. Now people aren't as afraid. That's a whole nother conversation in branding.
Oh, yeah.
And Pivot 10 gave birth to the Pivotal Leader podcast, which has been like an MBA program for me, because I interview all these amazing leaders and CEOs, including Keith Walters.
We love him.
We love Keith. And so that's a little bit about me in a nutshell, I think. Am I leaving anything out?
I don't think so. You were Well, we already mentioned you were a business coach, but that was kind of a part of Pivot 10.
Yeah, that's part of Pivot 10. So it's the strategy consulting training. So I do all of that, giving that consulting on how to improve sales and revenue, how to grow your business.
And such a big part of what you teach is using improv in business. And I mean, I think it's probably the most valuable lesson I've learned in business thus far is the yes and concept. And I'm sure we'll go into all of that in another episode. But yeah, it's just, it's incredible how useful it is in business and in life. I use yes and in personal relationship conversations to, I don't know, for lack of a better way to say it, to argue better with my significant other and even my child, of just validating it. Yes, you don't want to pick up your toys, and we're not leaving until you do. Like, just, it's so useful.
Yes and is such a great tool in general for business and in life. And if you want to know more about that, we definitely will talk about that in upcoming episodes. But you could go to GinaTremarco.com and check out our online sales training class. Spontaneous Selling 1.0 actually covers the yes and concept. So
nice. There. Highly recommend.
So check that out. So I think that's that covers who I am. That covers who you are. We've talked about the show, what to expect. Anything else you want to add before we get ready to wrap up?
Definitely for you guys to check out theclosingcurve.com and grab a How to Buy a House home guide. It's something I put together to help demystify what it's like to purchase a property, because even if you haven't purchased in a long time, which people generally don't purchase homes but every maybe 5 years or so, it's like a brand new process and things change all the time. So go over to theclosingcurve.com and pull that and just check it out if you're in the market to purchase a home or sell a home.
Anywhere else people should look for you online?
I'm all over social media, Rachel Tipton or Rachel on Real Estate, and that's the easiest way to find me, and I'm always around.
Awesome. Well, it is time to wrap up our first show. So a couple things before we go. If you want to reach out to me, you can do so at GinaTremarco.com, or you can find me all over the social media world. Just type in my name and you'll find me, or GinaTremarco.com. Probably the easiest, because you can connect to my social media platforms there. Please subscribe to our show. Tell others. Please review and rank us. All that is super helpful. To stay connected and receive other resources and tips from us, you can visit our website, which is womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. We know it's long, but it is what it is. And it's a cool domain. So there. You can find our show on Facebook, Twitter. Okay, it's no longer called Insta. What is it?
IG, baby.
IG. Okay. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, IG, and LinkedIn. You know where to find Rachel. You know where to find me. Special shout out to the entire team at the Sell or Die Network for taking us under their umbrella of podcasts, especially Jeffrey Gittimer, Jen Gluckow, and Doug Branson. I mean, I love Jen and Jeffrey, but Doug, he's our man.
He's so helpful and patient.
Patient. So patient. I mean, they all are. They all are. But Doug puts up with us more so than Jeffrey and Jen do. So.
There's always somebody behind the scenes helping, and especially in show business and in business, there's always the people on your team that make sure that everything is running properly, and Doug's that guy.
Yeah, yeah. So we love everybody at Sell or Die Network. We're so excited to be part of it. Another shout out to Keith Walters for being part of our team, and everybody else who's helping us get this podcast off of the ground, and to you for listening to us for this long. We know this is a longer episode because it's our introduction, but we hope that you've gotten to know us a little bit and you want to keep listening to us and enjoy the ride. So, Rachel, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, Gina.
All right, Rachel.
And goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. That's a wrap. Until next time, do something that gets people to warn others about you. It's a form of flattery.
Amen.
See ya.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, I don't. Think.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.